It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are back on live after hiatus last week. I hope everybody caught that show, too. But we had to let the people who work here have a little time with their families and such. So we decided to do the same. And it wasn't so bad sleeping in one Saturday, was it?
I did not mind.
No, but it's still more fun to be here talking to all of you folks. So welcome everybody back, and the regulars that have been here forever and ever with us, thanks so much. And if you're new, try to stick around and listen to the end of the show. We will promise you a few things, and only a few in life, but one of them is that you're just almost guaranteed to learn something if you listen for an hour. And of course, it is a live show, and you can call us at 904-222-8255. If you're reticent to actually be on the radio, you can always send an email to info@vanweefinancial.com, and we will answer your question on air. But as you will know when you listen to the show, we don't bite, and we have a lot of regular callers and a lot of good discussions. And we'll cover any topic in personal finance, anything at all that's on your mind, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, makes no difference to us. If we don't know an answer to a question, we'll have it by next week. So you can't go too far wrong. Anyway, there's been a lot happening. I have a piece of really good news for everybody out there. The country's long national nightmare is coming to an end. Open enrollment for Medicare ends today. If you watch TV in the conventional way, Adam apparently doesn't. The commercials are just relentless.
I don't watch much live TV.
I can tell.
So, yeah.
And I try to fast forward over most of them. But it's just, we put up with it every year.
Did we go straight from election-related political ads into Medicare ads?
It didn't miss a beat. Mm. It was just remarkable. Anyway, that's coming to an end. And, of course, it is December 7th, so we always like to remind people to remember Pearl Harbor because it was a terrible day in Americans' life, just similar to 9/11, and we don't want to forget and always thank our military people for the things they do for us. So, let's see. This week, if you were listening to Angela a couple minutes ago, you heard that there were some thumbs up. We did manage to set some records again this week. It wasn't all rosy, but kind of fun. I'll let Adam tell you all about it, but we've been kind of on a roll here this year.
Yeah, it's a little bit different kind of week because all the indexes didn't move together. That almost never happens where you see one down and the other two up, but that's what happened this week. It was a great week to be invested in the tech-heavy NASDAQ. It was a decent week to be in the broader S&P 500, but it was not a great week to be in the Dow. The Dow actually lost 0.6%. Well, the S&P was up 1%, and the NASDAQ was up 3.3%. Despite that mixed performance on those indices, if you had any kind of diversified portfolio, you were probably up for the week, as the broader indexes were up and bond funds were up as well. So AGG, which is the total bond fund market, basically, or total bond market, was up just under 0.5% as yields dropped again. So not a bad week at all. The big news this week centered around jobs, though, where we first saw the Bureau of Labor and Statistics release the JOLTS report, which is that's an acronym for the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. The total number of job openings rose from 7.4 million to 7.7 million in November, while people quitting their jobs also rose from 3.1 million to 3.3 million. That's a bit of a turnaround because that number, the job quit rate, has been declining pretty steadily since 2022. And just for reference, you may think that a quit rate is not a good thing, but a higher quit rate is actually a very good thing because people only quit their jobs when the economy is strong enough that they can find a better job and go do that instead. So you want to see a higher quit rate.
That's hard to say.
It is. The overall theme of this report was that it was slightly better than a month ago. So the labor market was weakening pretty steadily, and this is maybe a sign of a flattening or a turnaround. So we're not sure there yet. Need a few more data points to compare to, but not terrible news. Another interesting number in the report was layoffs, which were unchanged at 1.6 million. Hiring remained steady month over month at 5.3 million, but is still down by 500,000 year over year. The current level of hiring is very similar to where it was at the beginning of the of President Trump's first term in 2016. It rose steadily right up until COVID hit in 2020. The quit rate peaked in 2022 and has been on a steady decline ever since. The layoffs are similar to 2016 levels as well and may even be slightly below where they were at that time. In 2016, there were approximately 0.75 job openings per unemployed worker in the U.S. That rose steadily to 1.24 jobs per unemployed worker before COVID, and then it dropped off a cliff to 0.2 jobs open, and then it spiked to over 2 jobs per unemployed worker. Remember when everyone had staffing shortages? That's what the number was at that time. Since that spike in 2022, it has declined steadily to below pre-COVID levels and currently sits at 1.1 job per unemployed worker. So that rate is actually lower than it was pre-COVID and is headed down. And that's not a good thing. We need to see that thing turn around. Nope. On Wednesday, we saw the ADP report come out with a headline number of 146,000 jobs added to private payrolls. It also noted that the annual pay was up 4.8% year over year. That's a good number. Mm-hmm. But for job changers, it was much better, with pay growing 7.2% year over year for those willing to make a change. The growth in payrolls wasn't even across all sectors. Manufacturing actually lost 28,000 jobs, while education and health services gained 50,000 jobs. The South gained 61,000 jobs, while the West added just 29,000. And then large businesses added 120,000 jobs, while small businesses lost 17,000 jobs. So a lot of disparity in the report. Some areas doing quite well, some areas doing poorly. And that's sort of the story of the last 2 years.
Yeah, large businesses up, manufacturing down again.
Yep.
There's something going on in the manufacturing sector out there.
Nothing good.
Nothing good, exactly right. So we'll see what the new policies that are about to come into being will do. And of course, we have a new inauguration coming in, a whole different attitude. In fact, there's an attitude in the public that reflects a lot more optimism, but it just doesn't seem to be trickling down to the manufacturing sector yet.
Not yet, but the Michigan Consumer Sentiment report jumped this month as well. So there is sort of a turn in the public perception.
Yeah, and if we get some of the offshore things moving back here too, it takes some time. You know, we're building a lot of factories, like chip factories, big ones. It takes a lot of time to construct those things. But when they open up, they're going to employ thousands of people, and that will help us all. So much more to say right after the break. Don't go anywhere. We will have a trivia question and so on. We'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And we do have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. All right, everybody knows that probably the hottest topic for this, at least the last few months, has been artificial intelligence, or AI. And it has caused quite a stir in the markets. So I'm going to show you just how much of a stir has been caused by AI. 2 years ago this week, ChatGPT was released to the public. That's the first way anybody could just go online and interface with the AI industry. And since then, there have been many others, of course, and most of them are doing very well. There are a couple exceptions, but most are doing very well. What percentage of the entire world's stock market value increase in 2 years is represented just by AI? 100, somewhere in between? I'll give you a hint. It's in between.
Or really, I think it's a better way of putting that is by companies that are involved in AI. So,
The company has other value. AI itself, you can't really buy AI. you can set it up if you got a couple hundred million dollars to build a facility, but other than that, you can't. So, yes, what percentage of the entire valuation of the world's markets is represented by AI companies? And it's over 1 and it's under 100. Okay, that way you guys can go out there and set some brackets. All right, back to what happened in the market, and particularly in the jobs arena, which is a little kinky as usual. Oh, we have a call first.
All right.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Stephen and Adam Van Wee. I'll take a shot at the trivia question, and I have a little, probably 1 minute, 11 seconds of good things for y'all, if you'll be so kind after I'm going to say, okay, I've been following not as well as y'all, but I'm going to say I'm going to say 30%, but I think I'm a little low.
Well, 30% is actually a little low. So you have narrowed the window a little bit. That's a good thing.
Okay.
Helps everybody.
Can I go on for, if you'd be so kind?
Well, sure. Please do.
Okay. Good morning, Stephen and Adam Van Wee, financial gurus of Northeast Florida and beyond. Your clients, future clients, listeners, and myself. Old Phil from the town of Orange Park, a longtime listener and caller, and thanks you immensely for all the good you two do all the time and your 5-star staff. You are two professionals of the highest caliber. Please don't change, as you both are the best of the best. On the national news this morning, they had a thing about bitcoins. Did you guys see it or hear it? It was bright and early.
About the 100,000 valuation?
No. A young couple, that was probably on also. I'm glad I had my second cup of coffee when I saw it. Okay, real short. Yeah, 33 seconds. A young couple in the USA laundered hundreds of millions of dollars. I believe at the end of the broadcast for that subject, it was $3.2 billion through the years. Dumb and Dumber 101, as you guys always say when it applies. I do too. Both of them flaunted their riches on social media sites. Right now, they're doing indefinite time in a federal prison. And to finish up, their picture was on the national news. A young couple, their life is ruined. Till next time, you're the best of the best. Don't change, including the gentleman behind the scenes answering the phone, whom we'll say nameless. Merry Christmas to all.
Sin, right and back at you on that one. Thank you.
Next time.
We always appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Yeah, living beyond your means is the number one red flag of the IRS.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you remember a few years ago, there was a congressman, Republican, and I think he was in California. And in his garage, there was a car. And that car would have cost years of a Republican's House member's salary. And people kept looking at it until finally somebody said something about it. And he's sitting somewhere today, but it's not in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, it happens. I mean,
just a car, right? But a couple hundred, $300,000 worth of car?
Right.
No. Maybe married up. But apparently when they asked him about it, he couldn't show that that was the case. So why, people? Why?
Because they can't help themselves.
No, and I guess they're keeping score. You go after $3 billion of other people's money, and you think you're not going to get caught?
Right.
That's delusional.
That's a huge amount of money.
It is. A couple million a guy might get away with. I don't know. Probably not, but at least you wouldn't be sending up a red flag. I mean, that's got to come from somewhere. That's my point.
Yep.
The market is not a zero-sum game, as we tell everybody. There is always value being added and growth. The pie gets bigger, so to speak, so your piece of it can get bigger. But when you're talking about actual money that used to belong to somebody else, now it belongs to you, the pie is fixed. And when $3.2 billion come out of the hands of consumers and go into somebody's pocket, somebody's going to notice.
You would think so.
One would, yes, one would think. Anyway, we appreciate hearing it. Thanks, Phil. As always, entertaining. All right, back to the jobs reports and the little anomalies that punctuate
it. Yeah, the BLS released their jobs report on Friday, of course, being the first Friday of the month, that's as they always do. And it showed the economy adding 227,000 jobs in November. That was better than economists had forecast. Despite that growth, the unemployment rate ticked up from 4.1 to 4.2%. And the October report was revised up from just 12,000 jobs created to 36,000 jobs created.
And if you remember, that was the month where the hurricane.
Yeah, I was just going to note that there was a lot of noise in that report. Right. So take that one for a grain of salt. In general, it's taking job seekers longer to find a new job, now almost 5 months, which is the highest number since 2022.
It's gone from 5 minutes to 5 months.
Yep, it has. It's really spiked. What this report really showed is that the labor market is still decent, but it's not heading in a positive direction. If you have a job, things are probably good, but finding a new job is getting rougher and tougher. I think these reports provided some incentive for the Fed to cut rates again this month. I think they will probably do another quarter point.
I think that's underlying the whole thing.
Yeah, I think I could see a pause after this one, but I think they're going to cut again.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Whether or not they should, I don't know. But we have been talking about the Fed a lot over the past year or so. And as much as a non-Fed person as I am, and I like to make fun of every Fed chairman I've ever witnessed, Powell is still, in our view anyway, the best we've had in a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he has a bit less transparency than I would like, I guess. But he's not totally opaque, which most of them have been. Remember the word Fed speak. They like to talk and make sure you don't understand. But when he talks, you pretty much do understand.
Yeah, you get the gist of what he's saying, and you can, it's actionable. You can make decisions based on what he says, and he's proven himself to follow through with those comments for the most part. So
for some reason, the media seems to want him to get into a fight with Trump.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Trump has never said a word about firing him.
I don't
that know. I know of.
I haven't heard him say. He gets annoyed with them.
Yeah.
But Trump gets annoyed with everybody. So exactly. That's
if you haven't annoyed Trump today, you're useless. I mean, if you're a person with responsibility of any stature, I guess. But I don't get. Well, I do get it. You know, the mainstream media, they got nothing to talk about. Unless something's going wrong.
Unless they manufacture something to talk about.
Yeah. If I can't find it in the news, I'll have to make some news. That's their attitude. And make it they do. I don't think that's an issue at all in what's about to happen. It has been fun, though, watching things change already. And as you said earlier, there's a big change in the consumer sentiment. And it shows in places like Michigan, but it shows in a lot of different arenas and a lot of different areas, and even internationally, there's kind of a new spirit, a can-do spirit that I can see and feel and hear out there. People are just happier now, I think.
Well, there's some reasons for that. According to Fidelity, 401k and 403 balances reached record highs in the third quarter of this year, and contributions are either steady or up, and there was a 9.5% annual increase in 401k-related millionaires in the third quarter of 2024, and IRA-created millionaires reached 418,111. That's a 5% increase from the same period in 2023. So across those two types of accounts, just at Fidelity, almost a million new millionaires.
When you think about those two numbers juxtaposed, the 401ks are getting pre-tax input from the owners, but they're also getting a lot of matching funds from employers. Mm-hmm. There's also a tremendous difference in how much you can put away.
Yeah, like three times as much as an IRA.
Yeah, three to four. And when you look at the growth in the 401k millionaires, it's not as surprising to me as the growth in the IRA millionaires. All they get is your own contributions that are limited to $7,000 or $8,000 out of your own pocket. And having those climb up 5% in the course of a little bit of time like that, to me, is a very impressive number.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
It's something to keep your eyes on. They'll all tell you the same thing. The secret is starting young, saving as much as you can, investing with a certain flair that's kind of related to your age and time left in the market. And what they won't all tell you, but some will, is that you'll do a lot better if you hire a professional money manager, financial consultant, whatever you want to call us, advisor. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is out there. In the 2 years that AI has been available to the public, the world's stock market values have risen nicely. What percentage of that gain is attributable to AI companies? And we know it's above 30, which is, in my book, already an incredible number.
Mm-hmm.
For one little industry like that. I guess not so little, but one industry anyway. Okay, I want a couple more observations on the whole jobs thing. In the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is part of the Department of Labor, they're the ones that are responsible for things like counting jobs and specifying the rate of inflation and all that. They're pretty good at what they do, I think. There's some things that are questionable. And one of the things this month that was questionable was they sort of forgot, when they talk about the household survey, they forgot to mention that it actually showed a decrease in jobs of 355,000 for the month. And I don't know quite why they wouldn't want to put that in there, but they didn't put it in there. And in their own statistics, also unmentioned, was the fact that there have been 883,000 people added to the unemployment rolls. So over the last 12 months, 883,000 people have become unemployed. Now, Adam and I were talking about this in the break, and there is a phenomenon going on that I'm not sure how to quantify. We know it's happening, but the exact effects are difficult for me to put my finger on anyway, and that not native-born Americans are losing jobs to immigrants. And what was the number you came up with?
So the statistics I've seen have said that every job that is counted as an increase during the last 3.5 years or so has gone to a the amount of the increase in non-U.S. born workers has gone up by the same amount that the numbers have gone up during that period. So there are actually no additional Americans working today as opposed to 4 years ago. It's all gone to non-U.S. born workers.
That the implications of that are staggering, I believe.
Yeah. And then this year we're down 500,000 or so jobs. So, I don't know if those were U.S.-born workers or non-U.S.-born workers, but all the numbers are just not great. They're not devastating, but they're not great, and it's a phenomenon that needs to reverse itself and go the other way.
Yeah, I'm looking at the economic group that's coming into the White House in January, and there's some pretty smart people out there, and I sincerely hope that they get on this. Has anybody been chosen to head the Department of Labor? Oh, yeah, the one we don't like, because she's for the dissolution of the 1099, the Tax Act, Jobs Act, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, she supports that, and I don't, and most conservatives don't. I don't think she'll make it. We got to get somebody at DOL who can figure this stuff out and work with the economists. But we'll report. You decide, as they say. Anyway, let's lighten it up a little bit. I got some fun things for today, too. How about this one? Thanksgiving was recently, and there's a lot of things written about the old times. You know, the pilgrims in the 1600s had a real problem feeding themselves. And they also had a problem that I do not know the origin of, but they were very hesitant to eat seafood. Now, back in those days in Massachusetts, there were so many lobsters in the water that they would climb up on shore and stack themselves up in piles, and the pilgrims wouldn't eat them because they had this aversion to seafood. I'm just thinking about all that expensive lobster going to waste. What a shame. Just a little tidbit I picked up along the way. They called it trash food. Another one. How many of you have ever had a windshield replaced? You ever have that?
A crack or
something like that? And you get safe light or equivalent mm-hmm. out to your house, and you just say, you know, they come out and do it, and they go away and say, thank you very much, and that's that. Do you know there are only 3 states that require that to be free? Do you? For included, I guess you'd say, no deductible or anything like that. If you're in Florida, Kentucky, or South Carolina, every policy has to include free replacement. And I have for years just assumed that every insurer in the country who covers cars would do that because of the potential danger involved. But they don't. Most of them you have to pay for. And just surprised, that's all. I don't know. Does that hit you as strange or not?
No. I mean, I think it's unusual that we do have that. I don't know. Why
the other side of it, I guess.
Why would you cover something for free when nothing else is free?
Because it's so dangerous and people would be reluctant to do it. And if you have a bad windshield, it really needs to get done. I've had them out twice. I had my wife's car windshield totally replaced because it was getting pitted from being so old and in the sand and sun for so long. And then I picked up a rock or something not terribly long ago, and it didn't go through and it didn't crack, but it created a depression that was significant. And they came out and patched that up, and those were all no charge, thank you to the insurance companies. I don't know. I just, for some reason, it caught me as strange because I've always assumed it was more or less universal. All right, here's another one. Younger people are looking at government service, going to work for the feds or whatever, and saying, well, maybe not so much because of what's going on right now with the Musk and Ramaswamy people going in there and actually looking to weed people out. We're trying to get them to voluntarily weed themselves out by forcing them to go to work, which doesn't sound all that bad to me. But a lot of people in Gen Z and so on are looking elsewhere, and I think that's a good thing for them, that they're considering the private sector above the public sector. It can only help the country. And only 7% of the federal workforce now is under 30. Isn't that funny? I would have thought it would be way bigger than that.
But no, I think that's, I mean, once you get a federal job, you tend to stick with it forever. True. So I would expect it to lean heavily older.
Yeah, the federal pension system is definitely a case of the golden handcuffs. Just another thing caught my eye. I like to collect these little things, and once in a while I'll go through them just because I'm kind of curious about them, I guess. Another group whose optimism is surging now, I wouldn't have thought of this, farmers. Yeah. People are really enthusiastic about farming these days.
I've heard anecdotal things over the last few years where farmers have been very unhappy with the rules that have been coming out of the current administration.
Well, you know that the climate wackos have a war on nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And nitrogen, without nitrogen, fertilizer doesn't mean much. It doesn't do
right.
much. So when we get rid of that, it's going to help them a lot, which should increase crop yields, which should, of course, increase the farmers' income, and so on. And they know that the trade deals are going to have a second look and probably a redo. So their expectation index jumped 37 points to 161. That is a big number on a 161 base. So another good thing. And then there's another interesting twist on all of this stuff, too. You know who John Schnatter is?
No.
You do, but you don't. Remember the guy who started Papa John's Pizza?
I do.
Everybody knows that face, right? And mm-hmm. They know it's John. His last name is Schnatter.
Okay.
He says that his business is going to go absolutely nuts because people are so happy. They're going to party like it's 1789. That was his quote.
1789, huh?
Must have been a heck of a year for partying. So.
Okay.
Again, I got a kick out of that. Let's see. The not so much fun side. I got a couple minutes before the next break. A lot of Americans who retire don't retire because they want to. And we have discussed this before on the show, and I have some kind of updated numbers here. 6 in 10 people who retire involuntarily, they call it, because of something that happened to them or something that happened to the job or whatever.
Yeah, it's way more common than people know or think.
It is, and it's really bad if you're doing your own retirement planning and it relies on going to a certain date and you have a problem. In fact, so many people now who have stopped working involuntarily are in big trouble, and part of it is because, well, health issues are 46% of it. 20% have family problems, that were part of it. The median age of retirement was 62 in this study. But 58% of them say that they expect Social Security to be their primary source of income in retirement. Mm. People, this is unacceptable. 58% trying to live on Social Security. It can't happen. So if you're thinking about such things and you're a little bit short of that age yet, get on it, hire somebody, go interview some financial advisors, but get your plans going, get them going fast. You don't want to be caught like that. We'll be right back. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
Excuse me, I got that same old lingering thing going on. Anyway, I remind everybody, lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia question's still out there. AI is 2 years old now, in the public eye anyway. And what percentage of the world's stock market gains over those 2 years is directly attributable to AI companies? And we know it's over 30% of the whole thing. Question, theoretically, what would be the last thing that you would do if you were trying to save Social Security?
Cut the Social Security tax.
That would be one of the, probably three of the things that didn't.
Sure, just the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, you either cut what goes in or you expand what goes out, right?
Yeah, sure.
You can't spend your way to prosperity. And for those of you of a certain persuasion who don't understand that, we'll talk later. But there is a move out there now called the Social Security Fairness Act that would increase benefits for millions of people. And guess who those people are?
I'm guessing the people who receive the least amount of Social Security.
Sometimes it's least, sometimes it's none. But the why is where it's interesting. Because they didn't work in jobs that were covered by Social Security, so they didn't pay in.
Okay, so now you're just giving
some public money. Pensioners, yeah. People who had something like post office pension, something like that. Mm-hmm. They're saying that a lot of people are surprised that they're not going to get the full benefits. They don't realize that if they worked at a job where they did pay into Social Security, but then had a job where they didn't, they say that would be penalized for the part where you worked in a job that wasn't paying in. So we want to give full benefits to people who didn't pay in for years.
Right.
And that's going to help save Social Security, according to these people. I don't get it. If you can figure that out, call us, okay? People like Susan Collins are in on that one. When you got Susan Collins lining up with Sherrod Brown. Nothing good is going to happen coming out of that one.
There was a interesting article about a Ponzi scheme that was recently busted down. Oh, guess what part of Florida it was in? Shockingly,
I would guess somewhere down around Fort Lauderdale.
You got it. That's amazing. And guess what? One of our favorite banks it involved.
Could be quite a few Wells Fargo.
There you go. You're two for two today. The bank settled the claims for $26.6 million. It was a $200 million Ponzi scheme run by a CEO by the name of Johanna Garcia. And this is the best part. They were promising significant returns at an annual rate of 120%.
What could possibly go wrong?
Right.
Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning. So I am just turned 52. I'm paying off a car loan. It's $800 a month. And I feel like once I pay that off, I have the opportunity to continue using that $800 afterwards. And so what would be a good financial retirement plan to use with that $800 once the loan is paid off in 1 year?
Ooh, awesome question.
Crypto.
No.
I'm kidding. Those of you who just left your chairs.
Do you have a retirement plan at work?
No.
Okay.
So I am self-employed.
Oh, okay. Does your company have profits?
Yes.
Okay. You have a bunch of good options, really. I would recommend looking at if you have significant profits, I would look at something like a SEP IRA or an individual 401k plan. If you have relatively modest profits and don't want to, and you're just looking at saving the $800 per month, you could probably just get away with a simple IRA plan. But any of those would be decent options for you. If your income is low enough, you could also look at a Roth IRA. That would be just $7,000 that you could put in it this year, and then $7,000 next year. So you have a bunch of different options. It really depends what your goals are, which one would make the most sense for you, though.
Okay. The house is paid off.
Great.
My wife currently has. She's got the IRA and some money put away and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I pay all the bills. So really, you know, we're okay. You know, we don't have any huge problems. I mean, the car payment is our only financial burden every month.
Nice.
I guess that $800 a month, you know, I want to be able to keep some money set aside for emergencies and stuff like that. And I think I have a good plan for that. So the $800 a month, even though it's not a lot, you know, it's a good start. And so I think you said an IRA plan, I think is what you had said. So I have a basic idea of what that is, but, if I plan on working for the next 15 years, what can I expect from that IRA at the end of the 15 years?
Yeah, good question. I can't tell you exactly. It really depends how you invest it. But if you invest that somewhat aggressively, just 15 years of those of $800 a month will get you $144,000. That's without any return. So once you start looking at getting some stock market like returns on that, I mean, you could. I could see most scenarios I'm thinking of, you end up with over $300,000 saved.
Optimistically, and I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, that's based reasonable. On historical returns. Yeah. I didn't actually do the math. That's just a ballpark, but I think $300,000 would be on the conservative side.
Yeah, the average return for the S&P 500 index is 10.9% a year.
I am paying into Social Security, obviously.
Okay.
If I plan on working for the next 15 years, what would be the most realistic option for me to, what would be the most realistic age for me to start drawing on that Social Security?
Oh, that's such a complicated question to answer because it really depends on your goals, when, like, what age you want to retire, what your income needs are at that time. The thing about Social Security is that every year you wait to claim it, you get an 8% raise, and that 8% lasts the rest of your life. So it's a huge number, the difference between taking at 62 and taking at 70, and the break-even point on that is you have to live until you're somewhere in your mid-80s to make it make sense to wait till later. So if you have longevity in your family, it always, almost always benefits you to wait until 70 if you can. But if you are come from a family where most people die in their 70s, then you should probably claim it earlier. So it's really a complicated question to, and very individual to answer.
Okay. I guess my last question is, you know, I guess it's a combination of the two. You know, 15 years paying into the IRA, I'll be 67. You recommend taking the Social Security no earlier than 70. So really, I don't, it's kind of a no-brainer because, I mean, you know, nobody in their right mind is going to spend $300,000 in 3 years. So, you know, at the end of the 15 years, you know, hypothetically, if I get the $300,000, what tax liabilities come with the IRA at that amount?
Sure. If you're under the Roth IRA limit and you go the Roth route, then no taxes will be due on those withdrawals. If you do a traditional IRA, that money gets taxed at your marginal rate in retirement, which if you have no income is generally pretty low. So maybe 12% or 22% for most people.
Yeah. And you can do both. Right. You can split your contributions to do both. And you're over 50, you got 8,000 now.
Oh, yeah, I do get 8,000.
And it's you could do half and half or something like that, depending on your circumstance.
Okay.
But this is it's a calculation that needs to be done after answering a lot of pertinent questions.
Yeah, this is a real financial planning scenario that we deal with all the time. And it might make sense for you to retire at 67 and immediately claim Social Security because you need the income at that point. But I just can't answer that question definitively today without doing a lot more work and looking at your background and your goals.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that, and I guess just based on the tax liability, it seems like the Roth IRA has a lot less risk involved.
Yeah,
I guess.
I don't know about risk, but it definitely is a favorable tax treatment at retirement. So the problem is if you make any kind of money, you can't do it. But there are ways to do that. You can set up a 401k plan for your business that has a Roth option. There are ways to contribute to a Roth even if you do make too much money. The problem with the Roth is that there's just a very strict set of requirements that you have to meet to be able to contribute to it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, guys. I am listening to you on 600 out of Jacksonville.
Good.
I guess it's 600 out of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you want to take a shot at the trivia question before we go? Or is it too late?
I think he might have hung up.
Too late. All right. Then I'm going to tell you because we are just flat out of time. The AI part of the world's market has accounted for 45% of the overall gain in the world stock markets in 2 years. That is astounding to me. Absolutely astounding.
Yeah,
and of course, a couple weeks ago, we came up with the concept that America's stock market is half of the world's market value right now. So if you're going to climb on to the American market, you're probably going to do pretty well. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening in, and take care of yourself. This is the Ben Wee Financial Hour.